Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday, and I'm in a new fishing hole, which means this could go horribly wrong. Anytime you go to a new fishing hole, you just don't know. One of the things that I always look for when going out to witness is, does it make sense? Will people be able to stop? They should be able to stop today because I am at Centennial Park. You remember, this is the place where the bombs went off during the Olympics in 1996 in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a huge park. There's a helicopter in the sky and people kind of lingering around, but not really. They seem to be a little bit destination-driven, which means I might have a more challenging time witnessing to somebody. Make sure when you go out, it's hard enough to do this. Don't set stuff up against you out of the chute. Make sure you find a place where people can actually stop and talk. All right, here's the goal today. Going to try to see if people believe that God is angry at sinners, or angry at anybody for that matter. Quite certain they're not going to think that he is, because remember, America's impression of God probably is predominantly based on George Burns. God is angry. He's filled with wrath toward the chaff. Not toward the wheat. Amazing tender mercies and kindness toward the wheat. Toward the chaff, furious anger, Old and New Testament. And that is why when God says that he's going to punish lawbreakers, here's the three key words about hell that we have to remember, because a lot of people pervert this. There's three pillars to the doctrine of hell. It is eternal. It is conscious. It is torment. Those three things. The Jehovah's Witnesses really mangle that. They say that you get annihilated, there's soul sleep. And there are some people who would say, like the Mormons, that it's not so terrible, it's just not as nice as the terrestrial or the celestial or the whatever their next level is. No, it is eternal. It is conscious. It is torment. All right, there is a young couple. Excuse me, may I talk to you on the radio for just a moment?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Why? You must not be from the South, are you?
No, we are from Switzerland.
You're from Switzerland? Yeah. Will you talk to me on the radio for just a moment?
I can't speak English.
You just did speak English. Yes, you do. What's in your hand?
Cola.
Cola. You just spoke English. Goodbye, you guys. See you. Bye. See you. Alrighty. That always gets me. Foreigners, they'll always say that. But usually they speak English perfectly well. Thank you very much. Alright. Let's give it a go. The one thing that I always wrestle with when I come to a place like this is the homeless people. It's difficult sometimes. There's mental issues, and sometimes it can be a little challenging, but they need the gospel too, and they can understand a lot of things. And so there's a fair amount of people just kind of hanging out here. I have to confess to you, and this could be flat out wrong. I do my best to avoid those conversations. I know, I'm sorry. Because sometimes there's just mental issues that are going on. It becomes very difficult, and I just tend to shy away from that, and I guess that's wrong. Alrighty. There's a fellow, however, sitting on a bench right here reading a something. Sir, may I talk to you for just a moment on the radio while you're sitting there underneath a shade tree reading TV Guide? Is that what you're reading?
No, Jet Magazine.
Jet Magazine. May I ask you a couple of questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's Jet Magazine for starters?
For starters?
What is it? What does it talk about?
Well, it's talking about O.J. Simpson's conviction.
Well, this must be an old edition.
Yeah, it's old.
That's not current at all, is it?
Yeah, it's old.
So what do you think? Was O.J. innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
So justice wasn't served, huh?
Yes, you're right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel great. I think he did it.
Yeah, yes. So he should have been punished for it.
He should have been punished.
Yeah. Do you think everybody who breaks the laws should be punished?
Yes, sir.
Do you mind if I sit right here next to you? Is that okay? Yeah. So you think everybody should be punished who breaks the laws, right? Absolutely, positively everybody.
Everybody. Right. Yes.
I'm going to ask you a theological question, a question about God, okay? Do you believe in God?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So do you think that God should punish everybody who breaks his laws.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So every single person on this planet should be punished by God because they've broken his laws.
Yes.
That's depressing.
I believe that, yes.
So everybody's going to go to hell?
I don't know. I couldn't say that.
You just did.
Well, yes, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I did. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to hell?
No.
I don't get it. You haven't broken. You're perfect.
No.
You've broken the laws.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm going to hell, too.
You're going to hell, too?
Yes.
Okay, well, have a nice day, sir.
Okay.
What a pleasant time. No, I'm not going to leave. That's a horrible thought.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're going to hell sincerely?
Yes, I do. I done broke a lot of laws from God. Yeah.
Like which ones?
Say for starters, cheating. Say for starters, cursing.
Lying.
Yeah.
Stealing.
Uh-oh. Yes, I have.
Blasphemy?
Yes.
When you take God's name in vain?
That's right.
You've done that?
I've done that too.
Yikes. Okay, what about adultery?
No.
Lusting?
Lusting, yes.
Because Jesus said that's adultery of the heart.
That's right, that's true. That, with the eyes. Yeah, I do plenty of that. I'm guilty for that.
Have you murdered anybody?
No, sir.
Have you ever hated anybody?
Yes.
Because Jesus said that's like murder in the heart, so I guess you are a murderer.
Well, that's true.
At heart.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Huh. So do you think that God is angry at you?
Yes, I do. And I believe I'm getting punished for it.
Right now?
Yes. I lost my job. And think I'm here.
Yeah. What about when you die? What do you think God is going to do with you?
Well, I hope that I go to heaven.
Yeah.
I really do. That's where I would like to go.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
But do you think that God, if he's a good judge, can take a lawbreaker to heaven? Shouldn't he do what you just said, and that is punish you?
Punish, that's true. That's right. I agree with that. But I also it contradicts me what I said, but I would like to go to heaven, you know, but everybody would like these two, when he was crucified on the cross, what, two murderers?
Oh, you're talking about Jesus dying on a cross.
Right. You know what I mean? And the two murderers he took up to heaven with, well, one. Yes, one. That he took up. I mean, that man was a murderer.
Right, but that man did something. Do you remember what he did?
No, I can't.
There were two thieves hanging on the cross next to Jesus, and probably murderers too.
Right.
Because they were insurrectionists most likely, and they were probably murderers. You're right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of them mocked Jesus. The other one made a profession of faith.
Right.
Do you remember? He said, can't you see that this man is the Son of God?
Son of God.
And Jesus said to him, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Right. That's true.
Because that man did something. He saw that what he was getting was just. He was getting punished for his crimes, but Jesus, he hadn't committed any crimes, and he was being punished.
Right. That's right.
Do you know why Jesus was being punished when he had committed no crimes?
No.
He was being punished for your crimes.
That's true.
The laws you've broken, the punishment you deserve, was put on Jesus. What you deserve, the wrath from God that you deserve, was put on his own beloved son on your behalf.
Right.
So that you could be forgiven by God, just like the thief on the cross.
Well, that's true.
But you've got to do what the thief on the cross did. The Bible says you have to repent. It's a word that most people miss. And because they don't understand what it means to repent, they're going to find themselves getting punished by God. This is what God commands, that you repent this day, which means you agree with God, that you're not a good person, that he's your creator. You've rebelled against him. You've lied. You've stolen. You've blasphemed. You've lusted. You haven't been grateful. And you confess your sins to him. You say you're sorry to God with no excuses offered on your defense.
Okay.
And you turn from your sins. You stop lusting. You stop cheating. You stop lying. Whatever. Stop taking his name in vain. You don't become perfect. But you fight against those sins now. And you put your trust in Jesus, who died on the cross, knowing that you would sin against him.
Because okay. You repent and you trust the Savior, and God promises you if you will come to Him like that, He will not cast you out. He will not send you to hell. He will save you because of what Jesus did. Not by anything that you've done. All you've done is earned wrath for yourself.
Okay.
Jesus has earned goodness for you, so you can be adopted into God's family, be seen as His child. His wrath will be abated. He will call you His own, and you will inherit eternal life. You will be adopted by God Himself. That is that's the good news.
That's right.
That's the gospel. You've heard that, haven't you?
I'm gonna practice that starting today. Yeah, I haven't heard it. Yes.
The Bible says, Jesus specifically said, you must be born again.
Right.
Now, there's no way we're going back into our mother's womb. That makes no sense at all. But what He meant is you must die to yourself. Come to Him like a little child. No defense. Right. I'm sorry. I'm done. Clinging to Him as if your eternity depended on it, because it does. That's what you must do. So I'm going to walk away, leave you with your thoughts. Please think about your sins. Think about Jesus, God Himself, dying for you. And it should break your heart. Turn to Him, not because you're afraid of God's wrath, but because He's been so kind to save you from hell. It's the good news of the gospel. Will you think about that today?
Yeah, amen.
I'm glad I met you today.
I'm glad I met you too, sir.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
See you. Goodbye. Praying for him on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And now, a ministry that I... Early! Too early! A ministry that I commend to you wholeheartedly. Have been praying for this ministry for 20 years. Why? Because of the amazing work they do. God saves people through the proclamation of His Word. He grows Christians through the studying of His Word. But people around the globe can't do that if they don't have a Bible in their own language. Enter Bible League International. They don't just run around the planet throwing Bibles at people saying, "Here, read this." They preach the gospel, they disciple them through Project Philip. Upon graduation, then they're given a Bible in their own language. So you, for just $5 per Bible, can be delivering a Bible in the language of a person who is a believer. Call toll-free 844-YES-WORD, 844-YES-WORD, and let's send some Bibles to Africa.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Permit me, please, to paint a visual picture for you. Imagine it's 1920s. It's a poor part of the country. It's a small cinder block building without running water, no heat, and certainly no air conditioning. The children inside of this small room, they're young, and they look basically, well, like orphans from, give or take, the 1950s. What is the picture that I'm trying to paint for you? Basically a picture of a typical Tomorrow Club in Moldova, Russia, or Ukraine. They aren't fancy. The kids' clothes, they are by no means designer, and yet every week they joyfully come to these little rundown places to hear the gospel. And almost 500 of these Tomorrow Clubs have been sponsored by you. We have only 25 left that need sponsors. Would you please visit the Tomorrow Clubs and think about sponsoring the gospel in one of these forsaken places? Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Shame on me, rightly so. Shame on me. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. I'm in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, and there are homeless people around. And I was worried about witnessing to them because, well, I'm a sinner. That's why. And I just talked to a fellow who turns out is homeless. Didn't look like it. Was sitting on a bench reading an old magazine. No mental problems, no issues like that. And he was able to hear the gospel loud and clear. So shame on me. It is a Witness Wednesday, and a young lady who has an amazing ability to match her shoes with her shirt. And she came running up to me and said, "What are you doing?" I tried to explain. And she mentioned something about doing a documentary to demonstrate the plight of the homeless and what it's like to live on the street, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And the reason that you want to do this documentary is?
Well, just to show Americans that when you dehumanize someone, you're really dehumanizing yourself. And a lot of people look at homelessness as, oh, well, they're lazy or they don't have a job and I work hard and they don't. But the fact is they're humans just like you and I.
Just to follow up on that, though, is it possible that some of them are indeed that they're lazy?
Well, I think it's more so as they're in a rut. And they got to this point where they have nobody that cares for them, pulls them up, and says, look, you have purpose in this life. You can do whatever you want to do. It's more of, okay, well, here I am. I have nothing. And I'll just stay right here because I'm comfortable.
What is their purpose?
I would say their purpose is just like anyone else's, to go out there and gain the dreams that you have in your heart and in your mind. But it's really hard to do that when you've lost so much.
Okay, now you said that they can do anything that they want to do. Is that true for everybody?
Well, that's America. We have opportunity here in this country. I've traveled around the world and I've seen places where
Maybe better stated, we can try anything. It doesn't mean we'll be able to accomplish
that's
anything,
right.
But we have the ability to try anything.
That's
okay,
right.
I want to go back just for a second, if you don't mind. So you're telling me that these people, there's nobody who is homeless, who isn't living a bad lifestyle that has bad consequences, drugs, alcohol, do they have any personal responsibility in their situation?
Definitely. We all do.
Okay.
And you can see people that have a lot, and they're still living the same kind of lifestyle.
So what do you think is the best way to get somebody out of this lifestyle?
You know, I think love is the best way. And actually showing someone that you care about them, no matter what they look like, no matter what their circumstances is, just love.
Okay. And how do we demonstrate that love?
I guess by smiling or caring or, you know, I wouldn't say offer them $5, but give them a hug.
Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there's right around the corner here, there's some sort of mission place where that thing about pulling people out, helping them get equipped. There is a place for that, and a lot of these homeless people choose to not partake of that. So now what do you do with those people who don't seem to want help?
Yeah, that's difficult because you get to a place where you feel hopeless, and that's what I want to show people is...
It's true, but is there not also a group of people who they like it? They don't want it. They like the drugs, the alcohol,
definitely.
The outdoors, and that's what they prefer.
It's a lifestyle, for sure, okay. And it's a livelihood. You can get by that way. But, I mean, to show a person that you care about them, I guess that means that they would start caring about themselves more, and that motivation and drive would just empower them to...
Now, when I asked you that you're doing a documentary out here, and I said, why are you doing this, you also mentioned something about you're doing it for the Lord. What does that mean?
Well, that means that I do have a dream and a vision from God that he's given me the opportunity to travel around the world.
Okay, I've got to stop for a second.
Okay.
God has given you a dream or a vision. You heard a voice. You were sleeping. He appeared to you. It's a feeling. It's a nudge. What are you talking about?
Well, I guess all of the above.
So and God has appeared to you?
Well, yes. God is living inside of me.
And what religion are you?
I'm not religious whatsoever.
Okay. So who is God?
God is our creator. God is our father.
And how can I know who this God is? Is there a book? Is there a website?
There's definitely a book, and it's called the Bible.
So you're a Christian?
Yeah, I'm definitely a Christian because I believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay, and so the Bible is God's inspired word so that you can know how to live. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's right. I seek the word because that's the truth.
Okay, and so you said that God has spoken to you. Isn't that really then the same as the Bible? It's an inspired revelation?
Definitely, it is. when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, it leads you in the Bible and shows you, you know, because God speaks to us all differently. I'm unique. I'm a snowflake. No one's like me. And God knows exactly how to speak to me.
Okay, so do you hear him audibly?
I guess audibly, non-verbally.
And you're sure?
There's no doubt about it.
Now, what happens if your vision, your dream, turns out to be wrong?
Well, you know, the way that I see it and the way that I plan it is wrong. The way that God plans it is right, and I have to let him take control.
Right, but if I'm not mistaken, in the Old Testament, doesn't it say that if you claim to get a vision or a dream from God and you're wrong, you're a false prophet and you should be killed?
Well, yeah, definitely.
So you're sure that you've been hearing accurately from God?
I'm very sure.
All right, tell me, how can I become a Christian?
Well, you have to believe and have faith. And
in what and why?
In Jesus Christ.
Why?
Because he came on this earth to die for our sins.
Are you calling me a sinner?
I'm calling everyone a sinner, even myself.
That's pretty intolerant.
Well, it's true. Like, it's a term from archery. If you don't hit the bullseye, it's called a sin. And
okay.
Fall short of that.
Okay, so if I've fallen short, which I presume you're insinuating I've fallen short, and if I died, what's God going to do with me?
Well, it all depends if you accept his gift. And
I haven't.
You have not.
So what'll happen to me?
Well, from what I understand from reading the Bible, if you don't believe and if you don't ask Jesus to come into your heart and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, it's true. You will die.
And?
As you want to hear, you will go to hell.
Really? Okay, so everybody who doesn't believe in Jesus is going to hell. What if I'm a good Hindu?
Well, you can be a great Hindu, and I'd be your friend, too, because Hindus are great people. But they have over 1,000 gods, and God says that he is the only God, and you can't place any other gods before him.
So they're idolaters, and they're going to hell.
I didn't say that. You did, but...
I'm just jumping a little.
Right.
But you're going to say that.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that, you know, what I believe is the truth. And
okay.
from my perspective and from what I believe is, if me myself did not ask the Lord to come into my heart and didn't humble myself and say, you know, I am a sinner. I've done wrong things. I'm not perfect. But Jesus was perfect, and he lived on this world, and he suffered.
Okay, fair enough. Now, can I maybe suggest two things to you as you go about making your documentary?
Sure.
Do you ever share the gospel that you proclaim to believe to these people who are homeless?
I do in a way where it's not like, you're going to go to hell, and I don't have a megaphone that says, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe.
Not asking you to use a megaphone, but if they're going to hell, do you ever tell them that?
I don't know if I ever said you're going to hell. I don't do that. What I do is I just spread love.
Let me make a suggestion. You can take it or leave it, okay? I agree to walk up to somebody and say, you're going to hell, is a very radical, and I think a statement that's unreasonable. But instead, maybe if you reasoned with them to understand what that mark is that you talk about hitting, and you maybe use the laws of God as a mirror to hold it up to them, the Ten Commandments, to see that they've lied, they've stolen, they've blasphemed, they've been adulterers at heart at the very least, then they can see themselves as a sinner. They can see themselves as worthy of hell. And then when they understand that, you haven't accused them, you've shared with them the mirror of God's law, then the gospel would maybe make a lot of sense to them and would be good news indeed.
Definitely.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying completely.
Yeah, second thought is about this being led and having dreams and visions from God. If I'm not mistaken, you're kind of quoting Romans chapter 8. I would like you to be challenged to go read Romans chapter 8, okay? Because I think if you read it, what you're going to see, what the apostle is setting up is that he's talking about people who are fleshly and who are of the Spirit. And if you live like the flesh, you are not a Christian. And if you live like you're led by the Spirit, you're actually a believer. Live like the world, you're going to hell. Live like God, it shows that you're his child, you're going to heaven. And so being led by the Spirit isn't getting visions or dreams or nudges or promptings. It means when you're led by the Spirit, you're a believer who's been saved by God, you're in his camp, and then he teaches you through his word. So my encouragement would be to follow the advice of 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, 17 that talks about God's word is everything we need. It's inspired by God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God can be equipped for any good work. So get your leadings from the Word and be careful about the dreams and visions, because they're maybe just dreams. And God says that He really speaks through His Word, and that's where we find out how we're supposed to live. Fair enough?
Definitely.
All right, just two thoughts for you. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Goodbye. That is so important. Not that making a documentary about the homeless isn't a perfectly nice thing to do, but God appearing to her in a dream to say, make a documentary about this, just isn't the way that God operates. It's much more clear than that. It's much more secure than that. He reveals to you in His Word, and then He gives you options. Make a documentary. Don't make a documentary on penguins. As long as it's God-honoring, you don't have to feel like, I can't decide anything. You can, as long as it's God-honoring and you are being informed by the Word. It's a Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. In November, the state of Nevada will be voting on a bill, if passed, that will remove the definition of marriage as meaning between one man and one woman from its state constitution. According to a news report, Nevada was one of 30 states to ban same-sex marriage before the Supreme Court ruling legalized gay marriage. But now, if Joint Resolution 2 passes in November, their constitution will be rewritten to enforce that Supreme Court ruling. According to the Legislative Council's digest, this bill, among other things, will also establish the right of religious organizations and members of clergy to refuse to perform marriages on the basis of gender or other factors, and specifically provides that a person does not have the right to make a claim against a religious organization or member of the clergy for refusing to perform a marriage. The vote will take place on November the 3rd when the entire country votes for president. This vote will be on Nevada's ballot. In a surprising story, an atheist group has filed a brief in support of a law against a Georgia college that punished a Christian student for preaching outside of a limited free speech zone on campus. The American Humanist Association filed the brief on Tuesday in the case, which will eventually be argued before the U.S. Supreme Court. The Alliance Defending Freedom, a conservative law firm, filed suit against George Gwinnett College for its treatment of a Christian student. Although the school has changed their policy on free speech and expression since stopping the student from preaching, they have refused to accept any penalty for their past action. In their brief, the AHA noted that while they and the ADF fall on opposite sides of the political spectrum, they believe that Gwinnett owes damages for their past policy. AHA Executive Director Roy Speakhard said in a statement released on Tuesday that he believes people must be given every chance to preserve their First Amendment rights. A federal judge blocked a Tennessee pro-life law Tuesday that requires abortion facilities to inform women about the abortion pill reversal procedure. According to reports on the case, the court said part of the information required in the law is misleading and may violate the First Amendment. The pro-life legislation requires abortion facilities to display signs informing women that a chemical abortion may be reversed to save their baby's life after the first dose of the two-drug abortion procedure. It also requires the abortionist to provide the same information during informed consent, which is 48 hours prior to the abortion. At least 9 states have passed similar informed consent laws. U.S. District Judge William L. Campbell Jr. temporarily blocked the state from enforcing the law on Tuesday, just 2 days before it was scheduled to go into effect. Part of the judge's problem was a portion of the law that requires abortion facilities to refer women to the Tennessee Department of Health for more information beginning October 1st. However, the law does not require the department to have that information available to the public until January. The American Civil Liberties Union and several abortion facilities in the state are challenging the law in court. They claim it requires them to share false and misleading information with patients. Another hearing has been scheduled for later in October. According to the Tennessee Right for Life, the abortion pill reversal procedure has saved more than 900 unborn babies so far, and at least 800 medical professionals, including several in Tennessee, are trained to administer the protocol. Stay with us. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. God called the prophet Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh. Jonah fled, but he could not outrun God. He was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented, and God spared him. Jonah then preached in Nineveh, and they repented. God is compassionate and merciful, and He is calling men from all nations to repentance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, there's a couple who's, I'm guessing, walking to the Coke factory, but I'm no prophet. Hey, can I talk to you guys while you're walking to... Where are you going exactly? The aquarium? Oh, I haven't gone yet. Have you been there before?
No.
Where are you from?
Cleveland.
You're a married couple?
No.
You're not?
No.
All right, and you're here in Atlanta to go see the fish?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So when you go through the aquarium and see the fish... Do you, and you're probably going to read signs that talk about how old they are, what they evolved from. Do you believe that the fish evolved from other fish and that you actually evolved from a fish?
Not myself evolving from a fish, but those fish evolving from other fish, yes.
What did you evolve from?
I don't know. What depends on what you believe.
A monkey.
You evolved from a monkey.
Ape, yeah.
Yeah, you evolved from an ape. Do you have hair on your... What? You don't look like a monkey.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, but you used to be a monkey.
Yeah.
All right, and you used to be a monkey too.
I'm assuming that must be the case then.
Okay, so if you evolved from a monkey, do you have from that some sort of sense of where you came from and where you're going?
Not really.
No. Where do you think you're going? Like, what's life's purpose all about?
Don't know.
Don't know. What do you think?
Trying to discover that.
Trying to discover that.
Yeah.
How do you go about discovering that?
Just, I don't know, living every day and trying to figure it out.
Okay, so the big question, the grand question in life, okay, origins, where'd you come from? How are you supposed to live? Not so sure about that. Where do you think you're going when you die?
Isn't that the big question of all?
I think so, yeah, I do think it. Well, there's a lot of big ones, but I think you're right. That is the biggie. I agree with you. What do you think?
I think someplace better. I know I'm not really all that religious, but... You know, I think that there's definitely something better than here.
Why do you think it's going to be better? How come not worse?
I don't think it could be worse. I mean, there's so many things that people that we go through here and struggles. I mean, when you die, I think that it's just peace.
Okay, what do you think, sir? Where are you going?
Not very religious at all. No.
So you're not going anywhere?
I'm going anywhere. You're just dead.
You're not. Yeah. You're just dead?
Get out of here. You think that?
Look, I didn't want to start a fight.
No.
I don't want to wreck your vacation.
You're not. No.
So, dude, you think you're going nowhere, but if there was a heaven and a hell, I presume you believe in God, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he the judge who gets to decide where everybody goes?
I believe so, yes.
Where do you think you'd be going?
Heaven.
Because you're a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to heaven because?
Well, I better be going to heaven because I try to be a good person.
You try to be a good person.
Maybe not all the time, but I try. I
mean,
I don't do anything bad, but.
All right. I want to give both of you a test. And you can score the test all by yourself to determine if you would be going to heaven or to hell. You up for the challenge?
Okay.
You think you can handle it? Look at it. You got to say yes, dude, now.
Sure.
Otherwise, you're looking kind of wimpy.
You're walking back there.
Well, no. But the woman says yes, she's up to it, and you kind of give up on it. All right. Here's the test, and it's going to start to ring a bell. It's a 10-point test based on the 10 commandments. And the reason that that's the test is because the 10 commandments is God's standard. He's the judge. Those are the laws. So we should examine ourselves to see if we've broken the laws or not. So I'm going to try to hold up the mirror of God's law to you. And if you don't want to answer out loud, that's okay. I understand. Okay? But for instance, one of the commandments is not lying. Have you, Jenna, ever told lies?
Yes.
Yeah. So if I told lies, what would you call me? What type of person tells lies?
A liar.
All right. Fair enough. Stealing things. That's one of the commandments, that you shouldn't steal anything. Now, it doesn't matter the size of the object. It doesn't have to be from a store. It can be from your parents' purse or their dresser, or just not putting in enough hours at work when you promise to work 40 hours and you only put in 32. Whatever. How many times do you think you've stolen anything?
I have. I have definitely done that, but I don't know how many times.
Okay, fair enough. But have you stolen anything?
Yeah.
All right. So if you've stolen things and I've stolen things, that would make us a... Only if you're from Pittsburgh.
Is it the right word?
Thief!
Thief!
Right? So you'd be a thief too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. This gets a little bit trickier, a little bit tougher, a little bit more probing, because those are outward acts that we do, okay? But the Bible, which is what heaven is all, where that whole concept comes from, and Jesus specifically said, if you look at a human being with lust, you don't have to... commit a sexual act with that person, which is called fornication. You just need to think about it. He says that you're an adulterer at heart, because God goes beyond just what we do, even into what we think. When nobody's around, deeds done in darkness. So I won't even ask you to answer that question out loud, but if you have lusted in your heart, Jesus sees you as an adulterer at heart, right? Blasphemy is another one of the laws. Taking God's name in vain, using God's name in kind of a low way. Just, oh my, and just, you know, instead of swearing, you use his name. Are you guilty of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir?
Yes.
Okay, that's blasphemy. And the Bible says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain, because he's your creator. He's provided everything, vacations to Atlanta. And instead of thanking him, we use his name in a bad way. Very offensive. Now, summary, by your own confession, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and we don't know whatever else at heart. So God judges you. You die. And before he lets you in or kicks you out, judgment happens. Would you be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Guilty. Dude?
Guilty.
All right. This is a painful one. Ready? If you're guilty before God, should you go to heaven or should you be sent to hell?
I don't know. These are going somewhere.
I know. Well, I think that it should be taking, I mean, we're all not perfect and we all obviously do things that we're not proud of, but I think it should be ranked in a way, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know that I disagree with you. There are people who maybe do worse things or fewer things, but it still doesn't erase the fact that we're guilty.
No, you're right.
So you've committed adultery 8 times, I've done it 12. Well, we're still adulterers. Or you've murdered somebody, I've murdered 3 people. We're still murderers and we're guilty. So this is a really tough question to answer, because it's not what we'd like to think about. If we're guilty, we should go to hell.
Right.
But immediately we think, okay, if that's the case, well, then everybody's going to be going to hell. Mm-hmm. Well, I would respond this way. Everybody should go to hell who's broken the laws. If you haven't broken the laws, you're good to go. But if you've broken the laws, God must punish, just like a good judge doesn't let criminals go, because that isn't loving or just. God must punish. Now, what does the Bible say that God has done so that you and you don't have to go to hell? Do you have any idea?
Forgive yourself.
Well, it does talk about forgiveness of sins, absolutely. But before forgiveness can happen, what happens so that God can forgive sins? Because here's the tension. God is just. He's got to punish lawbreakers because he's just and he's perfect. But he's loving and he's good and he's kind and he's merciful. So he'd like to forgive, but he's just. He'd like to demonstrate love, but he's just. So he can't just let you go. Justice has to be satisfied so that God can demonstrate his kindness toward you. So what was the plan, according to the Bible, that God demonstrated so that you can have your sins forgiven, so that you can be set free, so that you can go to heaven? Do you know what God's plan is? What do you know about Easter?
Well, that's the day that he rose from the dead.
That Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, this is the big thing right here. We've got a great big court case in front of us. We've broken God's laws, but Jesus paid our fine. The punishment, the wrath that you and I deserve, God poured out on his only son for you and for you. You deserve hell. It was put on Jesus on your behalf. That's the good news of the gospel. You deserve hell, but Jesus took the punishment for you so that God can be just and the justifier of the wicked and be loving. He can forgive you because Jesus died to pay your fine. That's the great exchange. The just dying for the unjust, the good dying for the wicked. That's the gospel. But the Bible says you've got to respond to that good news. The Bible uses the word repent. Are you familiar with that term, repent? Yeah, it means that you've got to agree with God, I'm not good, I deserve hell. You've got to agree with God that Jesus is his son, who's God himself, who died for my sins. And you apologize by saying, I'm sorry, without offering any defense. You don't try to defend yourself an apology. You just come clean with God. You turn from your sins. You stop sinning. Doesn't mean you become perfect, but you sure hate those sins now. And you put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says, the day you do that, he will not cast you out. He will adopt you. He will make you his child. And not only will he see you as not guilty, he will see you as righteous because of what Jesus did. That's the gospel. So to get to heaven, you need to have your fine paid. Jesus paid it, but you've got to respond now by repenting and putting your trust in Jesus. The Bible says you do that, you can be assured, and you'll know it, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. That's how you get to heaven, according to the Bible. That is a radically kind offer. That's what that is. It's scary up front, but it's really great in the end. And that's really why somebody should want to become a Christian. Not because they're scared of hell, but because they go, wow, God's that kind to save me from hell. I want to follow him. He's good. And it should be his kindness that leads you to repentance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't let the day slip away. Think about these things so that you can become his child by repenting and putting your trust in him. Fair enough?
Yep.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
So ponder it today, huh?
I will.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Enjoy the fishes.
Thank
You're both
you.
Very polite and courageous.
Thank you very much.
She was a little more courageous than you, but you could keep your man card. All right,
I'm
you guys.
The talker. He's the quiet one.
You guys take care, okay?
Thank you so
See
much.
See ya. Goodbye. You ever had that joy, by the way, of seeing God appearing to open up a mind and a heart? Now, what's going to happen to them? I don't know. Could they walk away and it was like the soil where the seed got cast and the rains come? Could be. But I got to tell you something. The Bible makes it clear. Everybody's scared. That's the way it says. That's the Greek. Scared to die. She was. I think he was too. Why? I know he was. We all are. Find yourself a fishing hole, would you please? Just find a place where people can stop and talk to you. Be pleasant. Be conversational. I actually said to them, I'm going to give you a test to see if you're going to heaven and hell. And they stuck around. You can do it. There's some that actually would love to hear it. This is Wretched Radio.
Brilliant. This idea is brilliant. The Masters Academy International, a ministry affiliated with John MacArthur's Master's Seminary, where they teach men to rightly divide and preach the word of truth. Here's their idea. Let's have Master's Seminary graduates overseas in 17 foreign countries bring in local pastors and teach them to rightly divide the word of truth. Hence, the Master's Academy International. Consider the impact on these nations. Pastors learning how to preach rightly, go back to their congregations and feed the sheep well. What an amazing investment we could make. Would you please consider doing that? TMAI.org/wretched. 17 countries. Pick the one you love and support at TMAI.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we're always appreciative of you for choosing to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We don't take that for granted. And something else we don't take for granted is when you choose to spend part of the resources that God has provided to you with us here at Wretched by helping us reach the lost all over the world. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. See, Wretched relies on you, the kindness and generosity of God's people. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so that means all gifts that you give are tax deductible, and we're also members in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So in other words, we can't waste your money even if we wanted to, which we don't. Our goal is to preach the gospel, equip people to preach the gospel, and strengthen the local church. So would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? You can do that at wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You are one of those people who considers long and hard to whom you're going to give your discretionary funds. Don't blame you for that. Would like to let you know, if you are considering preborn.org, that they are a holistic ministry. Not like Whole Foods, not all hippy-dippy. I mean, they're well-rounded. Not only ultrasounds for women who are considering abortions, which 80% of the time save the child's life, they do that. They also counsel the mommies, help them to become good mommies. They provide clothing. They provide diapers. They provide baby food. And if that isn't holistic enough, they counsel the dads, because 84% of the time dads are involved, boyfriends are involved with the abortion. They're pressuring the women. And Preborn teaches them how to be men who can be good dads. Sound holistic enough? Preborn.org. Preborn.org.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, He has no desire to break His promises. Since He is omnipotent, nothing can cause Him to break promises. Since His promises are based on His eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture calls God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because He is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Resolving the big questions of life, like why isn't a 13-year-old wearing a belt around his droopy drawers? This is Wretched Radio. Chris, dude, your pants are falling down and you have to hold them up. Now, why are you laughing?
His teeth wasn't working.
Why don't you? Now, you're having, everywhere you go today, you have to actually just pull up your britches all the time, right?
Yeah.
All right, somebody explain this to me. Why this... Now, are you sagging too, dude?
Yeah. I'm sagging too.
Are you sagging? That's what it's called, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
See, I can be hip. Look at me. Do I not look hip?
You look hip-hop.
Yep. You're lying to me now. All right, so why do you do that if you have to spend half of your day pulling up your trousers?
Because...
Do you know what trousers are?
Breeches.
That's an old person's way of saying pants. Yeah, that's right.
Because it's the style.
It's a hassle.
Girls aroused.
I'm sorry, what is this about?
Nothing there, I was just playing.
Oh, it's about the girls. So this is for the sake of the girls, is that correct?
Oh.
Huh?
Yeah, it's for the girls, not the man.
I see. So you're 13 years old and you're wearing that for the sake of the girls, is that right, Chris?
Yes.
All right, hey, as long as we're all here together, how old are you, young man?
14.
All right, how old are you?
13.
Okay, so you're about 14, 13. Hey, hold on a second. Listen up for just a second, all right? We'll do this together on the radio, and then we'll let you go eat your M&Ms. Or those are Skittles, right?
Yes, sir.
What kind of Skittles?
Just Skittles.
Just plain old classics. You're into the traditional stuff. Good for you guys. Okay, where is everybody? Are y'all from the same place? Where are you from?
What do you mean, Harlem Boys and Girls Club?
And what is that? Can you tell me?
It's a Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club. What do you do in the Boys and Girls Club?
Play nothing. Basketball.
Nothing.
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 Is it a religious deal?
No. Babies at the Boys and Girls Club.
All right. So you don't like religion? Is that what I just sensed?
No, it's not.
It's a camp.
So you are religious, you guys. Is that right?
It's a summer camp.
I'm asking you about you now. Okay, are you a religious guy?
Yes.
And what religion are you?
Christian.
What are you?
Christianity.
Baptist. Is that what I heard? Are you all Christian Baptists? Is that the deal, Chris, with your droopy drawers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. That's he's rolling.
He's what? He's rolling? Is that what that is? Is that what you do with your pants, too? You roll them?
No.
Is that the deal? All right, are you a Christian Baptist, too?
Yes.
All right, I want to ask you guys a question. How can I become a Christian Baptist? What do I need to do to become one of you?
Believe in God.
Believe in God. Why would I want to do that?
You're supposed to get baptized.
Why would I want to do that?
Believe in God because you don't want to go to hell.
You're telling me I'm going to hell?
I don't want to.
Says who?
How do you know there is a hell?
Yeah, how do you know there is a hell?
Because it's in the Bible.
Oh, what's the matter, young man?
It's the same thing over again with him.
What?
He never believed that Christianity can be like be.
Oh, this guy's the doubter. Is that right?
Yeah,
Alfred.
Alfred.
Yeah. Alfred. So you don't believe in God? Is that right, Alfred? Is that correct?
Huh?
You don't believe in God?
I said I don't believe in hell.
You don't believe in hell. All right, here's the deal. You guys watch this now very carefully. All right, hold on. We're going to try to convince Alfred that hell is real, okay? Watch this. Here's how I'm going to do it. Do you know what? Don't hit him in the head. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are?
Nope.
I'm going to share them with you. You ready?
Yep.
Here's one. Thou shalt not steal. Have you stolen anything in your life, Alfred? Hey.
Yes.
What kind of a friend are you? Have you stolen anything? Don't lie, because that's another commandment.
Yes.
So you've stolen something. All right, if I've stolen something... What name would you call me? A stealer would be called a
thief,
right? Mm-hmm. So you just confess to me you're a thief, is that correct?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Alfred the thief, is that right?
Alfred the thief.
Right? Okay, hold on, Alfred, don't wiggle on me, all right? All right, toe the line for me. Alfred, how many lies have you told in your life?
Uncountable.
Your friend Chris is helping you. Yeah. Okay, so if I've told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What type of person tells a lot of lies?
A liar.
That's right. So Alfred is a thief and a liar, right? Alfred, have you ever blasphemed God's name? Do you know what that means, to take God's name and use it in a bad way?
Oh, no, I never did that.
Yes, you did.
No?
Yeah, okay. All right, you got a witness here. Okay, that's called blasphemy. And God says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. All right? Alfred, this gets a little trickier. Get ready for this one, okay? Have you looked at any girls today and had sexual thoughts about her?
Not today.
Yesterday?
No, not yesterday.
The day before. Do you ever have sexual thoughts about girls?
Sometimes. What? Sometimes.
Okay, because here's why. You know who Jesus is, right?
Yes.
Okay, Jesus is God, and he said, you just need to think about sex, and you're guilty of breaking the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You don't have to be married and have an affair. You just need to think about it. And God sees your thought life. He knows everything you're doing in darkness. So if you've ever thought about it, you've ever looked at pornography or dirty pictures, God sees you as an adulterer at heart. Okay? All right. Alfred, here's my little summary for you. Okay? You just confess to me you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer, and an adulterer. You die. And God judges you. All right? He's going to judge you for everything you've done. Clearly, you've confessed to being guilty. What should God do with a guilty lawbreaker? Should he take a guilty lawbreaker to heaven?
Or should he punish the guilty lawbreaker and send him to hell?
I don't believe in hell or heaven.
You know,
I repent.
Now listen, listen. Imagine if you were a criminal in a courtroom and the judge knew that you were guilty and he said, young man, Alfred, you're going to jail for 25 years. And you said, judge, I don't believe in jail. It doesn't make any difference.
No, hold on. I do believe in jail because I have witnessed jail. I've never witnessed.
Okay, I'm trying to reason with you. This is really important, okay?
I am listening.
What is the right thing for God to do? Is it for him to praise you and reward you, or should he punish you for breaking his laws?
Everybody done broke his law before.
That's not the question. What should he do with you? Should he praise you or punish you?
Everyone believes in second chances.
I'm not talking about second chances. What should God do with you if you've broken his laws? He should punish you.
Punish you.
Right? Okay. And that's reasonable and that's right, isn't it? Lawbreakers should get punished, right?
Yes.
That's why he made a place called hell, to punish lawbreakers.
Who was that a witness that?
You know what? Even if you can't see it, it makes sense. It's logical. If God exists and he's a just judge, he must punish lawbreakers. And that's why when the Bible talks about it being a terrible place called hell, it's reasonable. It's right that God would send people
there. But it's too many different versions of the Bible.
Here's the problem, Alfred. I'm going to try to read your mind right now, all right? I'm not a mind reader. I don't have any special powers. But here's why you don't like the idea of hell.
Because right now, you're not reading my mind. I'm thinking tacos.
Well, okay. All right, listen. You don't like the idea of hell because you don't like the idea of going there. And you know that if God gives you what you deserve, that's exactly where you should be going. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
What do you know about what Jesus did so you don't have to go to hell? What did Jesus do to save you from the flames of hell? He'll forgive. You're right. Jesus will forgive, but something has to happen for you to be forgiven. Imagine a criminal who has a big fine. He's got a $10 million fine and he can't pay it. If somebody stepped into the courtroom and said, judge, I love that criminal and I've got $10 million, I'll pay the fine. Then the judge can forgive the criminal and set him free. That's what Jesus did when he died on a cross for you, Alfred. You deserve hell. Jesus took hell on your behalf. He took the punishment you deserve. God is going to thrash lawbreakers and he'll thrash you. But he's kind and he's good and God loves the world and he gave his only begotten son and he poured out his wrath on your behalf so that you can be set free, so that you can go to heaven. But here's the string attached. You've got to repent. You've got to confess your sins to God. You've got to say, I'm sorry, without any excuses. Turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus. The Bible says when you repent and trust him, you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven because of what Jesus did for you. Dude, I understand you're scared of hell. I was horrified. It's real and it's hot. And if you don't repent, you're going. Turn to him. Become his follower by repenting and putting your trust in him. Not because you're scared of hell. Listen to this really carefully and I'll let you go. Not because you're scared of hell, but because he's a good God and he died to save Alfred. He died to save you so you don't have to go to hell. Call out to him and ask him for mercy and he'll grant it to you because he's good and he's kind. He loves you and he will save you. Okay, Alfred? What do you need to do to be saved so you don't go to hell?
Repent.
And trust in Jesus.
Trust Jesus.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya. Well, hey, Alfred, I'll be praying for you. Goodbye. Alfred is alone all of a sudden. All of his pals walked away. There were 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. Alfred, they went that way. All right, man. And he stayed, and I could be wrong. Maybe he really wanted some tacos, but he had tears in his eyes. And I think he understands at least the good news that God is a God who will save him from hell. Do you know what a joy it is to tell that to somebody? Because I'm telling you, the thought of hell should just make us all tremble and get out here. In fact, if you are not his, if you have not repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, turn to him, flee to him, fly to him today, and he will save you, and he will forgive you, and he will change you, and you will be adopted, and you will be justified, and you will get sanctified, and you will ultimately be glorified. You're waiting for a better offer from whom? From what religion exactly do you think you're going to get a better offer than that? That is truth. There is no other offer. It doesn't even have to be kind. It's the only one there is, but it is kind and it is good. And you are commanded this day, repent and trust him, and he will save you. Today, do it. Repent and trust the Savior. Don't delay and be burned up forever in eternal conscious torment. Repent and trust the Savior today. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.